Well, the principle is that there are some kingdom laws, and one of them is it's not being taught in the church because of grace and the rapture and all that stuff. And one of the kingdom laws is you're judged according to the light you have.
Right.
And this nation has been given the greatest light of any nation anywhere on the planet ever in the history of mankind. It has more light than Israel of the Old Testament. We have had the most light poured out upon us, the most revelation, and the most glory of God, and such the divine mercy of God has been on this nation from the beginning. And those who have the most light, when they turn from it, go into the worst darkness. And their judgment is more severe.
Right.
That's a kingdom principle. And that's what's happening to America. Everybody's waiting for the financial collapse and for a war to break out, for the weather to go crazy and have tornadoes destroy the country or whatever, nuclear bombs drop, you know, all kinds of things that they're looking for external judgment, material destruction. And I have no doubt that's going to come because all nations are going to be judged.
Right.
But the destruction you're seeing right now in America is a spiritual destruction. The foundation of this country was Christianity, was the Christian principle, the Christian morality that was imbued in our Constitution, in our framework of our structure, you know, in our institutions. It wasn't democracy. This country's glory was never democracy. We were a representative republic when we were founded, first of all.
Absolutely.
We were not a democracy. But second of all, what made us different, what made us peculiar, was that Christianity was built into our form of government. Okay? And what happened in the last 70 years, various God-haters, I won't, you know, name them, but people who despise God, humanists at the core, have little by little, through court proceedings, changed the laws and driven God and the Christian morality and the Christian ethic out of all the institutions of the United States. So what we're left with is a shell called democracy, and God's not in it. And when you put religion in that shell, what you got is Antichrist.
Amen. Amen. I suppose you're probably like me. The revelation of the man of sin is probably very close, isn't it?
I believe so.
You know, a lot of people try to identify this man. I personally don't believe anybody knows who he is because it will be a revelation to the body of Christ. And there are a lot of people out there trying to identify him. How do you feel about people who are trying to name the man?
I don't pay much attention to him, to tell you the truth.
Right.
God, you know, when you read the book of Revelation, I would go through the book of Revelation, and I can interpret very little of that. But I get blessed every time I read it. Because
right.
It says, when you're blessed, he reads it. And you just know, when you go through that book and read it, by the end, you know the cross is one and Jesus is one, you know, and you get a blessing. But you don't really, it's hard for me to interpret a lot of those details. But the man of sin, as we go forward, like the Lord said to Peter, this is that, you know, as
right.
things come to pass, and you're walking in the Spirit and following the Lord, you'll hear the voice of the Lord say, this is that, which I predicted, you know what I mean? You'll know what's going on.
Yeah,
but you may not necessarily know beforehand everything.
Yeah, I've used that analogy many times on the day of Pentecost. You know, Peter said, this is that which was spoken of by Joel the prophet. They didn't have a clue what was happening, but when it did happen, and that's why the scripture says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come,
right.
He understood this was that prophecy that Joel gave, and that's my feelings about the man of sin.
Right.
2 Thessalonians verses 3, 6, and 8 speak of him being revealed. And, you know, that's another misnomer. If the church is taken out of here before his revelation, who's this revelation for? Nobody would ever know who the man of sin is. Because you're going to be left with an apostate, sin-laden world, but the church, and that's going to be the church's greatest hour, is during this pivotal time called Great Tribulation. And I know God put it in my heart because we have such, first of all, we have just a morass of sin. We have so much backbiting, so much clamor, so much evil speaking. We have tyrannical, despotic leadership, and that's why God put it in my spirit. He would bring the church through the period known as Great Tribulation to perfect us.
Right.
You know, there's great betrayal in the church today. People lie to each other. They castigate each other. They don't have the fruit of the Spirit of God in their life. They have unforgiveness. They're just full of unforgiveness. They have no love. They have no mercy. You know, and it seems like all the elementary things that the Bible teaches, you know, people shun that, and they're trying to know all the 10 crowns. crowns and the 10 heads or the 7 crowns and 7 heads, you know, then all of these things, but the elementary simplistic things of living a holy and godly life, they negate those things, Brother Dan.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, and that's what concerns me. I'm not the brightest guy in the world. You know, they don't either understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. You know, God has to open my mind to understand the Scriptures. But, you know, people have gotten away from being merciful, being love, being kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. You know, those attributes are the attributes of the Spirit of Christ. And you see so little of that in our churches today. You see so little of that in so-called ministries today. You know, and I'm really concerned as a pastor, as a radio minister, to who people are listening to. You know, we try to bring people like yourself, a wholesome, biblically centered messenger, you know, who doesn't, you know, vacillate up one day, down the next, you know, spirit-led this day and, you know, carnally minded the next day. Because, you know, there's a deluge of inconsistency. Wouldn't you say there's a deluge of inconsistency in the church today?
Absolutely.
I know the end will come when Jesus comes, of course. But you said earlier that you just see it getting worse and worse and worse.
Oh yeah, it's going to get worse. I mean, I just read the other day over in England they're practicing witchcraft in an Anglican church, actual witchcraft, and the Harry Potter thing is getting in Christian schools and in Christian churches. And I mean, you read the Bible in Revelation, like it says, and they worship the beast and they worship the Antichrist and the spirit that gives them power and all that stuff, and you think, well, that can, none of them could be Christians. But I'm telling you, it's going to get so bad that the Christians actually end up worshiping Satan.
Hmm.
I believe that's going to happen because the delusion is so strong and the foundation for delusion has been laid so thoroughly. It's impossible to go back. You can't even talk to some people. I mean, we meet people. We have a restaurant now. We just purchased a restaurant up here. And you just can't even talk to people about what God's doing right now because their whole idea of Christianity is false from the very foundation up. And you come to the end times and what's going to happen in the last things, and it's just as messed up as the whole foundation of Christianity is. I mean, you have to start from the very beginning and have hours and hours of conversation to even get in their mind what true Christianity is, first of all, what the end times are going to be like then, you know? It's just a bizarre. A foundation has been laid for 50 years in the church, a wrong foundation of grace and rapture and eternal security and the great revival and all that stuff has been laid, and it's so pervasive all over this world that when all this doctrine comes in, all this other flood of comes out of a serpent's mouth, there's just no way to stop it. All that foundation of error has been laid solidly.
You know, after 9/11, there seemed to be a nudge toward Christianity, but you know, it seemed like it's all gone. It's all abated again.
Yeah. People. That's just religion. Now, everybody got religious, basically.
Right, right. That I reckon that's really what happened. They didn't get spiritual. They got religious, didn't they?
But the church has lived in such delusion. They're self-deluding themselves into thinking that the church is returning to God, or the nation is returning to God, you know, because people are religious now. But what
right.
kind of religion do they have? Well, you know, for years, Christians have been hauled into court for the least little thing. Christians are made fun of on TV. We're portrayed as dunces and dopes and self-righteous prudes. And everything in society has been against Christianity. And you're hauled into court for the least little thing by the ACLU or people who various God-haters. And all of a sudden now, President Bush, Cheney, and all the big wigs and all governors of the states and local officials, they're saying prayer, and talking about God, talking about repentance, and nobody's talking about repentance, but they're talking about imploring God for, you know, protection.
Yep.
And different things, and I just can't believe that the it seems like the majority of Christians, to me, unless I'm wrong, have fallen for that. I think that's people turning to God.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you even hear the news commentators even say, you know, our prayers are with you. That's
right.
Become a popular cliche. And there was a time when they would never dare say anything of that nature.
No way. You don't mention God, you don't mention prayer, you don't mention religion. It's taboo. It's politically incorrect.
Right.
Now it's politically correct because
yeah.
it's not God, the true God or the true church or the Christianity is being pushed. It's just religion in general and any God you want and God as you perceive him to be and all that. That's okay with this ACLU and with people who don't like Christianity. That's fine because it's not the real thing.
You know, it's really frightening when you sit back. What the devil has done has desensitized the body of Christ.
Right.
That when we should be moved, or we should be stirred, or we should be unctionized to do something, it's like the power, the impetus is gone. It's been negated by the delusion. I mean, there's just few people, and I know, you know, works don't save you, but I believe a man should put forth his best effort.
Right.
You know, I believe he said, love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And, you know, people just don't love God like that no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can understand why people don't want to attend church. There's so many people who don't go to church anymore, and I can understand why. Because, you know, there's nothing there. There's no substance there. There's no Bible preached. You know, they're telling people how to, you know, deal with society, or pastors are sending people to psychiatrists and psychologists and getting them on, you know, Xanax or Effexor or Buspar, just whatever, you know, to doping them up, to deal with society, to deal with life, when, you know, the Lord is our shepherd. You know, I know today we've talked a lot about the declivity, the demise of this nation, but, you know, Dan, I want to encourage the people before we leave today, because there is hope. There is peace, and there is poise and posture, but it's only in the Lord, isn't it?
That's right. Absolutely. And we walk in that up here, you know, as much as we can. And that's why I write my books, to expose the evil so you can see the good and pursue the good. And as you pursue the good and pursue the Lord and His Word and the true Spirit of the Lord, your life becomes peaceful, and you learn to walk with the Lord. And there is hope, and you're looking forward to what's happening. It's bad for those who aren't ready. For those who are deceived, it's bad. Bad news. But for us who are being prepared, it's not happiness. You know, you're not happy seeing people go down, but it's God, you know, it's God's plan, and people are making their own choices. And, all you can do is get yourself in that secret place of the Most High and walk with the Lord.
You know,
when it's come to pass, you'll rejoice because it's the Lord doing it.
Right. You know, we got people teaching, advocating that, you know, we're going to take this nation back. It'll become a godly nation. We're going to get our rights and our freedoms and all of this
stuff. Impossible. Too far gone.
Absolutely. It's deteriorated to the point, you know, it's like Joshua, choose you this day whom you shall serve, but for me and my house, you know, we're going to serve the Lord. It's an individualistic thing right now.
That's right.
Because corporately, this thing has fallen so far.
Absolutely.
And people have departed so far from the faith. You know, I'm 47 years of age, and in my heart, you know, you look for a mentor. You look for somebody who's walking with God in the power and in the Spirit of Christ that can help elevate you. You know, Paul encouraging Timothy and Titus and the other brethren. But, you know, Brother Dan, you don't see much of that anymore, do you?
No, you don't. It's hard to find somebody else.
You know, you wonder just how bad it will get. You know, I mean, we all need leadership. You know, and I feel many times as a radio minister that I'm inadequate myself in trying to minister to the people. You know, and that's why I take the radio program, the gravity of it, so seriously, because, you know, souls are at stake. Eternity
right.
is just over the horizon for all of us. And we really need to be walking and fellowshipping with the Lord. And, you know, I know the devil tries his best to wear the people of God down to where they're tired. They don't want to pray. They don't want to read their Bible. They don't want to fast. But, you know, we have to be determined, don't we, Dan?
Sure do. This is the age of David. You have to fight in this age to stay free, to get free and stay free. The millennium is the age of the Messiah. It's the peace. But this is the age where you have to fight to stay, get free, and fight to stay free. You cannot coast. The spiritual atmosphere is so oppressive and so dark, and religious deception is so pervasive. You must be on your guard every day and fighting every day to either get free or stay free. And God can do that for you if you obey Him and walk in the truth and put Him first before family, before job, before ministry, before the country. When God comes first and you walk in obedience, there is victory in Jesus.
Amen. I believe that. Well, listen, I want to give your address out again, because I really feel like you can touch the hearts of many people here. Again, folks, we have with us today Brother Daniel Mace from Delta Junction, Alaska. His address is Post Office Box 442, Delta, D-E-L-T-A, Junction, Alaska, 99737. So if they'll write you, Dan, you can send them a little catalog.
Yeah, a little mini catalog.
Okay.
It lists all our books. It tells you what they are, so you know you don't get any surprises. You know what you're getting.
Amen. Amen. Well, let me just say unequivocally that I have enjoyed this book that was sent to me, and that after I read it, that's why I wanted to call you and make contact with you and get you on the air, because I saw a like-mindedness here relative to the end times and what's happening in the church. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He didn't say it'd be a few. He said many.
Many. That's exactly right.
We're going to wax cold. And Dan, before we leave today, would you take the time to just pray for us, you know, for just a few moments here before we go off the air? Because there's power in prayer. And I know that the many people's hearts can be touched, but would you just take us to the Lord in prayer before we depart today and pray that God would minister to his people?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we just ask you to bless the people listening to this radio program.
Yes.
Encourage them. Give them light and direction. I ask you to bless my brother David and to give him encouragement and to give him victory in the battles he's facing.
Yes, Father.
We just pray for those people who are your people in the church that are struggling, that are trying to walk in your truth but are faced with all this delusion and faced with all kinds of problems and confusion. We pray that you'll just work in their lives, bring them to the true light, and let them walk in your spirit and feel victory in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, listen, brother, it's been a great joy to have you on today. And I want to get you back again and discuss some other things because, as I said, I was really impressed with your book here and what the things you addressed, because, compromise has truly taken its toll. And it's so hard anymore to find a pure, unadulterated word.
You're right. Absolutely.
You know, they taint it, they mess it up. I try my best to stay in the confines of the Word of God, because I know His Word is infallible, it's immutable, it's not going to change.
Amen.
I know my life is frail, I'm a human being, I'm subject to error, but the Word of God is holy and pure, and that's why we need to hear that word. Is there anything that you want to sum up before we leave today?
No, I just not really. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. We're not really a big ministry or anything. We're just a little family here. Have a little home church, home fellowship.
Well, brother, little is much when God is in it, and obviously you're touching people's lives, because as I said, the book was sent to me. It touched my life. You don't have, you know, that's the thing about it. You don't have to be big to have God's anointing.
Right.
You know, that's, you know, people today, if you got the money and you got the numbers, they equate that as to being successful. But you know, IBM, GM, 3M, they can build big corporations, but God's not in it.
That's right.
You know, and I'm looking for the Lord to minister and to help. Folks, again, let me give out this mailing address before we let Dan go. You can write him at Daniel Mace, M-A-C-E, Post Office Box 442, Delta Junction, Alaska, 99737. Drop him a line and get his catalog. And please be sure and send an offering. Give it shall be given to you. And I believe that's a principle that will work. If you'll obey God, He'll bless you. Dan, I'll get back in touch with you, and we'll have you back on again soon, okay?
Okay, it was a pleasure.
God bless you. Have a great week now.
You.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, I hope today that you have somehow, some way, been inspired, been encouraged by the program today. I would encourage you to write my brother. I really feel like the book is an eye-opener. He addresses a lot of things. He names people, places, and dates, some of the false prophets, some of the false prophetess, some of the things that have been said. He addresses them and will help you. And I appreciate the couple and the Vermont that sent me the book, Bill and Alice. I appreciate so much you sending me the book. After I read the book, it blessed me. I called Dan and wanted to get Dan on, and we'll have him on again. But please, get some of his material. Again, his mailing address is Post Office Box 442, Delta Junction, Alaska, 1-800-273-9737. And let me encourage you again today to pray, to fast. Fasting is a New Testament channel of power. David said in Psalms 35:13, I humble my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned to my bosom. Prayer and fasting will get you sensitive to the Spirit of God, that you could have an unction and operate truly in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So I hope you'll have a great week this week. Let us hear from you as well. Write us here at The Voice of Evangelism, Post Office Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina 28006. We appreciate you all so immensely. We appreciate your love. We appreciate your financial support. It helps us to be here to bring to you the Word of the Lord. As I said with Brother Dan a while ago, it's hard to find a pure, unadulterated word today. You might find somebody will read one verse of Scripture, and that's the end of it. They're adding their 2 cents in, but you know, that won't help you. What will help you, what will sustain you, is the Word of Almighty God. And I agree with my brother. I don't look for revival. I want to believe God for revival. I want to believe God for a freshet, for a flood of the Holy Ghost on the church in this end time hour. But as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. And they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And obviously, that's the way it's going to be here in the end. Let me say, as the prophet Amos said to Israel, O Israel, prepare to meet thy God. We're going to meet him one day. Humble yourself now under his mighty hand, that he will exalt you in due time. God bless. Have a great week. Again, write us, please, and pray for us here at the Voice of Evangelism. We need your help, your love, and your support, and we thank those of you who've been so faithful throughout the years. God bless. Have a great week. We'll see you Friday night in the Lord.
There's a brand new feeling in the air. Hallelujah. Open your eyes.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Lankford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism from Charlotte, North Carolina. For more information, call 704-263-1945. Again, you can reach David Lankford at 704-263-1945.